What is up, good people? Welcome back to The Edge. I'm your host, mentor, minister, and certified master life coach, Mike Savage. What up, though? So, let's talk about environment. Whenever I think of environment, I always talk about Superman. Why? Because Superman is super, simply because of his environment. The yellow sunlight, it gives him all of his powers. So your environment matters. Michael Phelps, Olympic swimmer, is extremely proficient in the water, but would he be that great at track and field? Could you imagine him doing the high jump? Michael Jordan was amazing on the basketball court, but he really wasn't that great on the baseball field. My point is this: everyone isn't successful everywhere. Sometimes you need to find the right environment. So I'm here to encourage you. Your heart is in the right place. Your work ethic is amazing, and you are gifted and talented. So if, for some reason, you feel like you can't get ahead, then maybe you need to change your environment. Welcome to The Edge, folks. Let's get sharp. All right, good people. Since we're talking about environment, one question that we have to answer first is, where are you? If you're not in the right place now, then where are you? And how do you get to the right place? Let's go to the word. Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God coming in the garden in the breeze of the day. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" In my humble opinion, finding the right environment starts with the presence of God. So if God is asking you where you are, then there's a good chance that you're not in the right place. There's a point from the story. If you're familiar with the story, then you know that this incident takes place right after Adam and Eve did the one thing God asked them not to do. They ate the fruit from the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve chose to do the opposite of what they were told, and it caused them to be removed from the environment of the garden. Listen, you are not here in your current environment by chance. You're here by choice. You've made some decisions that have developed some habits that have gotten you to your current environment. And listen, that's good news, because it means that you can make different decisions to develop different habits and get to a different environment. Being in the presence of God will give you access to the wisdom necessary to make the right decisions. Making the right decisions consistently will develop the right habits. Practicing the right habits will make finding the right environment inevitable. And being in the right environment with all of your natural giftings that God has already poured into you moves you from being just a man to a Superman. Yeah, I know you're catching that metaphor now. I'm not saying that this transition will be easy. I'm not even saying that your life will be easier. Life will continue to be life. All right, people? All the good, all the bad things will still be there. But having a right relationship with God will help you understand that all the things that you go through are only developing you into the amazing human that God has always wanted you to be. There may be a specific area or physical location that God wants you to be in to truly be all that He has created you to be and ordained for you to be, but you won't know that until you get into His presence. My suggestion is you make time each and every day to be alone with God in prayer and meditation and reading His word. All right. Next point, learn how to relate to people. I know this might seem like it's coming out of the blue, but it's very important. A huge part of the human experience and subsequently a huge part of the human environment are other humans. Okay. 8 billion of us on this planet or something like that. Okay. So we have to learn how to deal with other humans, humans that don't look like you, humans that don't think like you, humans that don't agree with you, some that may even hate you. some of you might be thinking about, I'm sorry, some of you might be thinking, Mike, but I'm an introvert, or I don't like negative energies around me. I understand that. Sometimes I like to be alone too. Sometimes I just like to go on long drives with just me and my wife. But understand that God has literally called us here to serve people. Let's go back to the book. John 13:34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Another one is John 21, verses 15 through 17. And this is when John reinstates Peter after Peter denies him three times. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he says. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And three times he said to him, and a third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I think it's very cool to point out that Peter denied Jesus three times. And so Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? To reaffirm him into his faith and to reaffirm their relationship. And three times he said, if you really love me, then I need you to be of service to my people or my lamb or my lambs. So in my opinion, these three passages make it clear that we need to learn how to associate with and properly serve the people in our environment. But how though? You got to change your point of view. Stop looking at it from your perspective and start looking at it from God's perspective. But how do you do that? All right, so let's go through it. First things first, we need to understand that God loves everybody and everybody needs God. Again, God loves everybody and everybody needs God. I need you to understand what I just said. God loves everybody. He cares for everybody. He desires a relationship with everybody. He wants everybody, no matter what their condition is, no matter what they look like, no matter what their spiritual background is, God wants a relationship with them. And everybody needs God. Every single human being on this planet is in a sin condition. Every single human being on this planet needs the grace of God, needs his wisdom, needs him to help them to develop into the people that they should be or they could be. But not necessarily everybody loves God. Not necessarily everybody wants God. Not necessarily everybody understands what I just said and they want to be with God. But everybody does, whether they realize it or not, whether they want it or not, need God. They need him. Let's go back to the book. John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But that whosoever is the point that I really want to bring up. Whosoever means whosoever, anybody in any condition can come to the saving knowledge of God and love on him and be in a relationship with him. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God loves everyone, even so much that he is extending his grace to slow things down so that more people can come to repentance, more people can be delivered, more people can learn and understand that they need God and come into a relationship with him. The next scripture is about everybody needing God, not necessarily wanting God, but needing God. Romans 3:10 says, none is righteous. No, not one. all have turned aside together. Together they have become worthless. No one does good deeds. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 2:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So everyone needs God. That's the point. I think it's also cool to point out that the word sin is actually an archery term, and it means to fall short, like literally. So like if you had an arrow and you're aiming at the target and you fire it off and it hits the ground in front of the target, it literally fell short. It didn't hit the target. Okay, everybody is not for you. Okay, that's my next point. First point, God loves everyone and everyone needs God. They might not necessarily feel like that, but that's just the way it is. Point number two, everybody is not for you and you are not for everybody. Okay, you got to understand that people are people. It is what it is. Okay, you need to learn who is the people that you're intended to befriend, the people that you're intended to minister to, the people that you're intended to work with and associate with, but not necessarily be friends with, the people that you are intended to have a lifelong connection with, the people that are just seasonal in your life. All of those things are important for you to understand. Everybody is not for you, and you are not for everybody. So there are some clear-cut villains. They're called out in the Bible. If you look at Psalms chapter 1 and also Proverbs chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1 says things like, don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Don't hang out with sinners. Don't sit with the scornful. Proverbs number 1 says, don't hang out with people who want to rob and kill. Or Proverbs number 1 says that. So there are literal clear-cut villains, just people that are out and up to no good. They are out there, okay? And those are the people that you need to separate from. Those are the people you need to steer clear of. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to discern them sometimes, but that is the way it is. But sometimes you have to separate from people that are good. This might be hard to understand, but I'll do my best to explain it. If you go to Genesis 11, 12, and 13, that is like the beginning of the story of Abram. And Abram becomes Abraham, who's the father of the Israelite nation. But sometimes God will ask you to separate from good people. In those passages, God tells Abram to leave his father's house. It doesn't say that his father was doing anything negative. It doesn't say that his father was doing anything evil. But God called him away from them so that he could go to a place where God was sending him. And in that, even in that, Abraham left with his cousin, Lot. And eventually, him and Lot had to separate. And it wasn't because Lot was an evil person. Lot and him had become very successful. And the land that they were on was not big enough to sustain both of them. So what they did was they separated. Lot went one direction, Abraham went another direction so that they could both continue to grow and be successful. So sometimes you need to be called away from good people so that you can better be successful, so you can better your environment, so that you can be more efficient. So it's not necessarily these clear-cut villains that you need to steer clear of. And you're going to need, again, the Spirit to really teach you and to separate you from those people. Some of the good ones that you got to let go and some of the really negative people that you're going to have to let go. So clearly, there are leeches, there are haters, there are complainers, there are distractions, there are people that will distance you from action. Distraction comes from the Latin word dis, apart, and trahere, drag. So these people are literally dragging you apart from your purpose, dragging you apart from the things that you know that you are supposed to be doing. So you have to be led by the Spirit to know what's what and who's who. So the Spirit of God is full of wisdom in order to keep you straight and to keep you on the straight and narrow and to keep you from associating with people that you're not supposed to associate with. So it's very important that you keep the Spirit top of mind. And my last point is this: don't be a Jack. Now, if your name is Jack and you're listening to this, I think you're a wonderful person and God loves you. Okay. it'll all make sense once I finish this story. Way back in the day, I was in elementary school and I went to a school called Godwalls Elementary. And the principal there was a gentleman named Carl Glover. Mr. Glover was the principal. Now, Mr. Glover has been an educator for a very, very long time. So long, in fact, that he taught my parents. He was my mother's like soccer coach, and he also taught my dad in a class. So he was familiar with my family. And if you know anything about me, you know I look exactly like my father. I look just like the man. I can't deny him if I wanted to. But anyway, so elementary school, I'm a young lad. And my class is sitting in the hallway, all lined up, seated, getting ready to go into the auditorium for some event or some show or some whatever. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But my teacher had to step away. And of course, if she was stepping away, she couldn't leave her class unattended. So Mr. Glover, who was coming down the hall, said, "You know what? You do what you got to do, and I'll sit with your class for a few minutes while you're doing your thing." And so me, with my ADHD, short attention span self, decided to get up and just walk the hallways, knowing that Mr. Glover was in a difficult position where he couldn't just get up and chase after me because he has to look after the rest of the class as well. So as I'm curiously just walking around, Mr. Glover begins to call for me, but he can't remember my name. And again, remember, I look just like my father. So he starts calling me Marvin. He says, "Marvin, Marvin, come back and sit down. Marvin, Marvin." And this kind of irks me because clearly, even at that age, I knew that I wasn't Marvin. I know that's my dad, but that's not me. So if he wants me to sit down, if he wants to correct me, if he wants me to get it together, then he better at least call me by my name. And eventually he said, "Don't be a jack. You know who I'm talking to." He said, "Don't be a jack. You know who I'm talking to." And so, you know, this is the principal of the school. So if he said jack ass, if he cussed, the whole school would have just imploded. Well, that was the understanding of my elementary school self at the time. But he didn't want to cuss. He didn't want to be inappropriate. So he said, "Don't be a jack. You know who I'm talking to. Come and sit down." Eventually, I did sit down, I'm sure. If I didn't, then I'm sure I don't remember what happened next, probably because my parents gave me a concussion. That's not true. My parents did spank me, but nothing that serious. But anyway, so telling that story about Mr. Glover, he said, "Don't be a jack." In that situation, I knew I was wrong. In that situation, I could hear clearly the voice of correction trying to get me together. And I knew exactly what I needed to do to fix it, but I chose to ignore all of that. So what I'm asking you today is to not be the villain in your own story. You know what you're doing wrong. You know you hear the voice of correction calling clearly, and you know exactly the actions and the decisions that you may need to make to fix it. Let's be real. You might not know everything, but you know some stuff, okay? So you know the behaviors that are not serving you. You know the decisions in the past that have gotten you to this place that you're in. You recognize some of the people in your life that are leading you away from what you know to be right. Yet for some reason, you found yourself content and comfortable in your current toxic environment. Don't be a jack, people, okay? Make the better decision. Choose life. Choose the presence of God. Choose to be led by the Spirit so that you don't satisfy the carnal desires of your flesh. So you don't keep making these stupid decisions that keep getting you in these toxic situations. You can be better. You are better. I love you. Stay tuned for the final thought. What is up, good people? This is Mike Savage, and I wanted to come on and personally thank you for listening to my podcast.
Do me a favor. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, share it with them. If you want to keep up with my content, follow me on Instagram at razorsedge_podcast and on Facebook at Savage Lifestyle Solutions. If you want to reach me or book me to speak, reach out to me by my email address, michaelsavagespeaks@gmail.com. I love you, and I look forward to hearing from you. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Jim Rohn says it like this: it doesn't really matter how smart you are or how much you know if you don't use it. Better than knowledge is applied knowledge. Knowledge is defined as familiarity or awareness of information, but wisdom is defined as the action or decision regarding the application of knowledge. Let me try to make this as simple as possible. You can know the exact steps to take to make $1 million, but at the end of the day, that's just knowledge. You can have that information inside your head and still be broke. Knowledge does not become wisdom until you act on what you know. So to all my faithful listeners, please take the knowledge that you are hearing in each of these episodes and turn it into wisdom. Remember, you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you on the next one.